Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. This is a broadcast where we focus on communication, relationships, and personal growth with actionable steps that you can implement immediately to help you live your best life. I'm your host, Bethany Clemenson. Our guest today is part of the Big Life series. Now, if this is your first time listening, I'm talking with people who are living life in a big way. When I say big, what I mean is that they're living life using their gifts and talents and doing the things they love while serving others. Today's guest is Mandy Sullivan. Mandy is one of the most authentic and transparent people I really have ever had the opportunity to know. She brings women together to grow their faith, and you are going to love hearing her story today. Mandy is the founder of a ministry called Nurture Her Soul, which is a community for all women, regardless of age or your faith walk. Mandy creates unique experiences to meet God wherever you are through teaching, sharing, connection, and conversation. Mandy and Nurture Her Soul are located in Iowa, but she does events nationwide. She and her family love to travel, and they'll bring the message to you. I've attended her events and heard her speak, and it's like sitting down with a longtime friend, laughing, sharing, and then getting real. Mandy also has online seminars that are actually brand new. They're launching today, and she'll share more about those and a retreat that she has coming at the end of our time together. Now, let's get started. Welcome, Mandy.
Hi, Bethany. Thank you for having me on.
We are so excited to have you here. So I asked you to come on because I've seen how you pour into the lives of others on a consistent basis. And the thing that strikes me about what you do is that you do it in a real and authentic way. You share things that are pretty deep. And you share things that really we all struggle with as women, but we don't always talk about. I've seen you ask the right questions to really help women think deeply into why they do what they do and to move them forward in growing their faith. So I just wanted you to share a little bit of your journey with us, how you went, how you took this leap into Nurture Her Soul, how it came about, and all the good stuff you have going on.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you for all those words. They are way too kind. What I think I do is just make myself look like an idiot most of the time and just make other women feel good about themselves by seeing the mess and the beauty in my everyday life. Nurture Her Soul came about. So here's the thing. I am in my second marriage. I was married to my high school sweetheart for 15 years. And then that went south and became very unhealthy. And long story short, met the true love of my life, Tom. And we've been married almost 6 years now. And so I love looking back at how God prepares things in advance for us. And when he put Tom and me together, he knew that together we were going to create this ministry, even though we had never had a glimpse of a thought of doing anything like this together. My husband works in IT. I work in full-time church ministry. And this idea was birthed, I believe, from God 3 years ago during a time when I had a month sabbatical off from my church job because I had literally had a breakdown of being completely overwhelmed and depressed and full of anxiety of stuff that were happening within my life and career. And so the church was wonderful enough to give me this month where I had a therapist once a week. Big fan of therapy. And I spent an hour alone in complete quiet and solitude every single day. And I will say that the first 2 weeks of doing that were an absolute nightmare. Allowing myself to be alone with my thoughts and alone with God and attempting to do my very best to hear what He has to say to me and for me to tell Him where I'm at and having that back and forth convo was not easy. I'll speak for myself. I have a hard time getting quiet. So the first 2 weeks were so hard, but then the second 2 weeks, I started to be revived. And as I was being revived in the quiet time and during the rest of those days, those 14 days, God was just really leading me into what I like to call an and then some opportunity. And I felt Him just kind of making it more and more clear that, yes, Mandy, even though you're in the middle of a mental breakdown and you needed a month off from ministry, I actually think you should start a whole new kind of ministry in addition to your church ministry. And so that's the nitty-gritty where it started. And God did blessed me with a man who is so capable of doing all the things that I am not capable of doing. And again, we only know this now as part of why we were put together, one of many reasons we were put together. But we had been together 3 years in marriage before this even was birthed, and we started talking and dreaming, and it has become something way bigger and more than we had ever dreamed it would become. Which is such a God thing, because it's only by God's direction and God's grace that He makes anything happen when we listen to Him and allow Him to speak through us. Whew, was that long-winded enough for you?
Wow. No, that's fabulous. So it brought to mind a conversation I was having with my grandma last week, and we were just talking about the struggle in life, or the not understanding of things that are happening, especially when things are hard, right? Like, so you know, it sounded like you were facing a hard time and feeling overwhelmed and maybe a little bit discouraged. And my grandma said to me, you, in essence, what she said is you never connect the dots going forward. You can only connect the dots when you look back. And God always has a plan for you. You just can't always see it. And that's where faith comes in. And this idea of choosing faith over fear, both require energy and belief in something, but we get to choose which direction we go, right? And so, my goodness. So, okay, tell me, how did that initial conversation go with Tom when talk about that. Was that?
Well, he's very he's my biggest fan. And so one of the number one things that I loved about him initially when we met and we're getting to know each other, and continues to be my number one favorite thing about him, is how proud he is of who I am as a woman, as a person in ministry, as a mom, as a wife. He just loves it when he gets to promote me being me. This might sound inappropriate, but I'm going there. So we often joke about how he's my Christian pimp. Because he loves, as I do, because we love to go anywhere people will allow us to share the love and message of Jesus and how He has created beauty from ashes in both of our personal lives into this new life that we have together and this new ministry that we have together. And so we tend to be somewhat inappropriate in the best kind of way. And so if we put the word Christian in front of pimp, we kind of think that, you know, real people will understand what we mean by that, and that, you know, we want to do anything and everything we can to get the message of hope out there to people that we have because of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So back to Tom's reaction, he's always up for anything. I mean, that man is up for adventure. And so as we started talking and dreaming, and we loved to dream together. I mean, that started when we were dating, just dreaming and future thinking. And he's beyond driven, has more energy than anyone I know to create things and get things done. We just started a notebook. I love a good spiral notebook. I love this time of year because I can buy notebooks for 25 cents each. And so I have it stocked up for the year. So we got our spiral notebook out and just started dreaming, just started listing out anything that came to mind. Some people might call it a dream board. I just call it notes in my spiral notebook or in the notes section of my cell phone. Anything that would come to mind when we were sitting together dreaming and talking, when we were apart just during our everyday life. And I honestly believe that it was God just giving us ideas throughout our day, just like little sparks of thoughts and hopes. And then we would put those on paper and then get real about, all right, now here's our big dream. Now, what are the pieces that need to be put into place in order to start this, making this dream a reality?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did. We started gathering information because our initial dream was to create events where women could go and nurture their souls, where they could feel, where they could connect, refresh, and nurture their soul. That's our tagline. Because I have been in ministry for over 20-some years, and I have been to lots of women's conferences and women's events and Bible studies. And while I liked different parts of each one of them, I just really craved an event that was a little bit different. So that was our goal, mm-hmm. was to create an event that women would want to go to, like a girls' night out, only with a bigger purpose than to just, you know, gab and party. Both fun, mm-hmm. important things, but let's add Jesus in there, and then you have the best kind of night out. So that's how this whole thing started, with this vision of creating events that went all over the country. Maybe they happened at wineries. Maybe they happened at churches. Maybe they happened in bars or at cideries or wherever. Is cideries a word? I don't know.
Sure it is. I knew exactly what you meant, though, so it's fine.
The pretty, I mean, fall season, the pretty cider places that make cider, you know.
Right.
So anywhere that let women kind of have a few hours to breathe, get real about life, laugh, probably cry, because real life is both hysterical and hard and sad all mm-hmm. at the same time. Have good food and drink, have good live inspiring music, and also play games. Because when we're adulting, we don't play enough. So
right.
That was the first overall vision, and it has ballooned from there and transpired from there, and God has provided along each step of the way.
Wow. What a great story. There's so many takeaways from this. You know, I'm part of the John Maxwell team, and John Maxwell was a minister before he became a leadership guru. And something that they talk about in the team is that when you get an idea, that there's usually three reasons that you get an idea. It's either for you right now, for you later, or maybe it's for somebody else. And write them down. He talks always about writing them down, keeping your ideas in a place where you can refer back to them, where you can maybe organize them in some way. I love the idea of your notebook. I also know that some of us are more computer minded. That's not me. I love paper too. And but having them in your phone, in a note section, I think that the ideas come to us for a reason. And maybe we don't always know that reason when we get them, but keeping them is a great first step. And then John also talks about how oftentimes in his crazy, huge, big ideas, the only step he could see was one. Like, he didn't know the 1,500 steps it would take to get to the big thing, but he could do the
amen.
One thing that was in front of him, right? Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Keep going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you, I think the idea is not being attached to the plan, because sometimes we can spend so much time doing A to Z planning, and then when we get off course at C, then we spend so much time trying to get back to our plan that we're like, wait a minute, there's a different plan. We're just not seeing it because we're so committed to the plan that we forgot about the goal.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's very interesting that your overall plan was sounds like is where you're heading now, where people are booking you all over the nation and you have these events. And I've seen it change just in the few years I've followed you, from an event here and there at a winery to, I mean, you've rented out venues to have events now because they've grown so much, and you have to turn people away at your events. And I love when you said, and then some. It was and then some opportunity, because you have this idea, but it's so much bigger than what we think oftentimes. It's just, wow.
Well, and I mean, you're absolutely so on point with everything you've said. And with the whole path that you were explaining, it's so true. You absolutely have to be willing to be open to being flexible as plans change, or as people let us down, or as other people inspire us, or just being open and listening to what God has in store for you. And God speaks to us in so many ways, and oftentimes through other trusted Christian family and individuals in our life. I know everything that I just said. It is exciting. It is beautiful. And it is. I mean, that is a full statement. It has been a roller coaster of excitement. However, it has also led to plenty of knockdown, drag out, back and forth combos with Tom and me that in the moment were really hard. But after those moments passed, they needed to happen because we've learned so much from each other, and our gifts, combined gifts together, are both so necessary to make this ministry a reality. And so without our arguing, we aren't going to get to know what's best for the ministry, what's actually going to work. And it also helps grow our marriage to find out he's really good at this, and to admit that, oh my gosh, I might not know everything. Shocking. He knows a lot more about this than I do. And I'm sure he thinks that of me sometimes. I will admit, I do think he's usually the right one. He's a bigger dreamer than I am, and he's a bigger thinker than I am, and it usually takes me a few steps to get up to where he's already been for a while. I will be honest about that. But there are plenty of challenging days, and I think had I known that in advance, we might not have jumped in, and I think that would have obviously been the wrong thing. And I guess I'm not even sure where I'm going with this, except to say that beauty does come from the hard days, though. When you have two or three hard days in a row, that usually means big growth is going to happen after those really hard times. When you fight it out and work your patooties off, that's usually a stage before another jump happens.
What great insight. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 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 Everything that's worth doing isn't going to be easy, but it's going to make it that much better. And sometimes Tom and I will have a discussion and think, oh my gosh, what did we do before our, because we both still work in other full-time jobs. I'm still at the same church I've been at for the past 10 years in full-time ministry. Tom is still working in full-time IT work at a company. And and sometimes we just think, when we are exhausted and we can't sleep because our minds are in overdrive and we're both thinking of things, and we'll lay there and have a 3 a.m., you know, business meeting in bed because we're in overdrive. But then we think, but what else would get us excited about the future? What else would we be doing with our time if not this? Or what would be fulfilling us? Or where would our purpose lie if we didn't have this? So much good and so much challenge that goes right along with it.
I think it's interesting that it all started when you stopped. Do you know what I mean? When you took a breath. I think as women especially, we have a tendency to be so busy, and we wear it, our busy badge, with pride at all the things we're doing. And sometimes we stay so busy that we are really not even living a life. We're just existing. And you get into autopilot and you disregard dreams because you aren't even getting quiet enough to even hear them. So if there's listeners out there that are like, you spent an hour a day in quiet and solitude, what? Like, I don't have time for that. What would you say to people that are thinking, I wonder if I could do that, or how would that fit into my life? How would they even get started?
Well, first of all, that was because I had a month off sabbatical, so I didn't have to go to my full-time day job. That's that first answer. And second of all, it doesn't have to be an hour. For me, I rarely do an hour a day now of quiet. It probably, on a daily basis, looks more like 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 5 minutes there, sometimes a half an hour here or there. I will tell you that my anxiety and stress level reached such a high 2 weeks ago that I realized probably one of the biggest reasons, beyond the fact that we're really working hard on some new projects with our ministry, we have just been busting our butts on it, that I hadn't been bathing those projects in prayer as much as I needed to, and I hadn't been praying for my own health, physically, spiritually, emotionally, the way I should. Mm-hmm. So I did. It was like God, sometimes, well, I just know. I we're such feeling people as women. I just picture him and feel him looking at me, walking beside me, and just chuckling to himself, saying, oh my dear daughter. You know what you're missing is time with your dad here. So why don't you chill for a little bit and take a breath and remember that things will always be better when you are including me in them. And so 2 weeks ago, I committed to, when I heard him telling me that, I committed to getting up an hour before I normally would. And I do my best things in the morning. I have most clarity in the morning. But that does not mean I like getting up in the morning or like getting ready early in the morning. I like being in my pajamas until 10. I take my kids to school in my pajamas and then come home and get ready. But I thought, you know, if these dreams that I think are God-led, and if these things are going to happen and need to happen in this ministry, they need a leader who is prayed up. And I knew I hadn't been prayed up. And so I did get up. I committed myself to those 5 days an hour early. So it was 6:15 to 7:15. I know that's not early for a lot of people, but for me it is. And my alarm went off at 6:15, and I will admit, I only accomplished it 3 of the 5 days. So, you can still fail forward, right? That's the thing. So I did 3 of the 5 days, which is better than none of the 5 days. So, I mean, everyone's different. It's just choosing to find, it really is just a choice of making sure that you're doing what's best for you and your life and your dream. And that definitely would include having some Jesus time in there.
I think there's such value in getting quiet, and it's so hard. It's hard to quiet your brain, and it's hard to just to be still. How do you do it? What does that look like for you? Do you have a room or a chair or a space or a music, or what does that look like?
Good question. Yes. So if I am inside, if it's not nice outside, I have a club chair. And I have my favorite blanket. I'm a blanket girl. I have my favorite blanket and my favorite sweater wrapped around me. Because even in the summer, my husband has the air conditioning down so low that I have to wear a sweater inside at all times. But I sit in this club chair with my cozies. And I do have my Bible on my lap just because I love the feel of that. Even if I don't crack it open, I know that it's with me. I mean, God's plan and scriptures are right there literally at my fingertips if needed. And I stare. I stare right at the fireplace, whether it's on or not. And I have a collection of just important things that are meaningful to me from family that I look at. So I'm surrounded by things that make me feel comfortable and glad to be who I am. And I truly sit there, and sometimes I have to tell myself to breathe in and breathe out. Sometimes my therapist taught this to me, to be present in the moment. She said, literally put your hand over your heart and pat your heart. And that had helped. It still continues to help me through different moments of anxiety, just the middle of the day, just putting my hand on my heart and just patting it. And that just is showing yourself love. It shows and reminds yourself that you are just here, right in this moment. You are okay, just as you are. No matter what you're doing or what you're not doing, but you're just cool being you. And it just helps. It's just a physical thing to do to help you get present. Sometimes I have a playlist on Spotify of praise music when I don't know what to say, or if I just need to help my mind get into a space. I have some worship music. I listen to Hillsong worship, acoustic worship. I listen to vertical worship, Bethel worship music, and that just brings my heart when I don't know what to pray, or I'm not sure what to say, or I'm just too upset about something or worked up about something, and I need other people's words to pray for me. I will put on some of that kind of worship music, and that brings me into a space. But I do end up shutting it off because, like you've been saying, getting absolute quiet is vital. Sometimes you need help getting your mind into that space.
Absolutely. I think that's something that's been life-changing for me too. And the more intentional I am about having that quiet time, the more clarity I have in the rest of my life. And and just like, as you said, I can tell if I, like, the spending the last year on the road in the motorhome was definitely a challenge to get quiet. I had to get really, really creative because you're in 300 square feet with four people. And And so I think that you can do it. It's just if you just have to choose to make it a priority. It's a choice. Like you said, your alarm goes off at 6:15. It's a choice, you know. And once you start it, it may not feel amazing, but then you do the thing and then you get the energy to do the thing. It's like you can't waiting to feel like doing something is never the best route, because feelings are fickle and you're not always going to feel like doing something. You have to make a decision and take that action regardless of how you feel. And so you're more likely to act your way into feeling than you are to feel your way into action.
Amen.
So, yeah. Right.
That's such a big lesson I learned years ago, that how you feel is very different than what the truth is. And you're talking about actions and truth and how we feel. I mean, let's be honest. I'm 43 and I know I'm perimenopausal. I mean, I am a nut inside with hormones and emotions up and down. And so if I went off of living my life on how I feel at any given moment, it could be completely opposite. I mean, it would just be one heck of a windy road day. But if I get back into what is true, okay, I feel like, you know, I feel like this, whatever that this is. However, here's the truth about what's happening in my life. This is what's good. This is what is a struggle. How am I going to handle it? What does the Bible say? I mean, there is feelings and there is truth. And wow, just like you're teaching that, how you just shared that, when I really input that into my head and really got it, it changed the way I was able to focus my life's energy. Being able to differentiate that your feelings aren't always reality.
Right.
Being in tune
right.
to your feelings, so important. Being in tune, but then also
right.
being able to step back and go, okay, these are feelings. I own these feelings. Mm-hmm. My feelings are valid. But let's make sure we double check and remind ourselves here what is actually true and what is happening.
I don't know about you, but I spent a whole lot of years riding the feeling roller coaster because I didn't know any better. I didn't know. When I first started working with a coach, something he said to me at the very first time we talked was, Bethany, feelings are like colors. They're not good or bad. They don't make you do anything. It's all a choice. And I was like, what? Mind blown. Like, no,
ooh,
you know, so they're like colors. Yeah. So we get to choose how we respond, but so often we've just responded the same way for so many years that we just run on autopilot and there's a better way. And for me, that started with really getting quiet. And it sounds like for you, that was one of your starting points too. So I think
for sure.
that's a huge takeaway. Huge takeaway for all of you that are listening. I just being able to get quiet is a big deal. So as Mandy has shared just a snippet of her story here, I feel like I could have you on like 20 more times and we could learn, you know, over and over again different things. But I wrote down five big takeaways from this conversation. And so if you don't have a pen and paper out, get it out. This is important. Sometimes hearing something and knowing it because you've heard it is completely different from hearing something and understanding it. You can know something, but applying it and really developing true understanding is a whole different ballgame. So these are things all we're sharing and Mandy has blessed us with today. But I really encourage you to write this down and spend some time thinking on it. Maybe when you decide to get quiet, you can take a few minutes and think on this and then get really quiet. So number one, quiet and solitude is life-changing. Okay. Number two, write down your goals and ideas. And as you were talking about this, Mandy, I know for me when I'm trying to get quiet, sometimes I have like squirrel brain. And so it's helpful for me to have a piece of paper to write down all the stuff because then it gets out and I can, it doesn't even matter if it makes sense, you know, but I write it out and I get it out and then I can hear because there's a saying I heard someone say years ago, but we can't hear until we feel like we've been heard. And so sometimes it's as easy as like writing stuff out and then you're able to quiet your brain and then you can hear. So, and write down the ideas, write down the stuff in your head, having a notebook with your ideas and your goals in it, having something on your phone where you can do that. Those are all brilliant ideas. Number three, have a plan. Even if that plan is just one next step. When you have an idea that you tamp down and it comes back over and over again, start doing the one next thing that's in front of you and be flexible with where it takes you. Because when you lean into living a passion and a purpose that God's put inside of you, it will be and then some, as Mandy said. I love that. I want to use that. I'm going to use that over and over. Because you never know where the next turn will be and where he'll take you. But if you're so attached to the plan, you can get stuck in your way instead of a better way that's out there for you. So have a plan, but be flexible. Number four, know that the hard days lead to amazing breakthroughs. So just because it's hard doesn't mean you should stop. It's going to be hard when you're really trying to live a life in a big way because, well, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And statistics show that only 3% of people in the world can say that they're living a life on purpose that they love. And I feel like part of my mission, and I think part of Mandy's mission, is to change that, because we want women and we want people to know who they are so they can lean in to their gifts and talents and grow their faith and be the best version of themselves, not play small. And then number five, just know that God prepares things in advance for us. You can't always connect the dots where you're at, but as my grandma said to me a week or so ago, when you look back, you can kind of see the plan and you can connect the dots going backwards. I love it. I love the phrase, "and then some." And I also loved when you said, Mandy, that you have to get prayed up, that people need someone that is prayed up. If you're going to lead people, you've got to get prayed up. So,
Amen.
I love it. I love it. I have a whole page of notes here, so this is great. So as we come to a close, I have two questions for you, Mandy. First of all, do you have any other thing that's on your heart or on your mind that you want to share? And then I want you to share about your launch that's happening today and your retreat that's coming up.
For sure. I mean, during our conversation, the something that kept replaying in my mind is, had I not, just one of probably a bazillion things, blessings that have come from attempting to live out this dream, this nurture her soul dream, is we never would have connected. You and I, Bethany, would have never connected had we not attempted to start this ministry, because I get to know amazing people and get connected with friendships because of this plan that God has for us. I would have not had the privilege to know you and to follow you and your family living out your dream this whole past year, which has inspired me in many different ways, watching Freedom Scheme and all those things. And so living out your dream manifests in friendships and in you growing as a person, which helps your family grow and your the people in your world grow that much bigger. So, I mean, it's just really neat to see how trying your hardest to live out your dream, where it leads you in ways you absolutely would have not expected.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Thank you for your kind words. But yeah, absolutely. You're just taking that next step, and who knows really where you'll end up. So, yeah. Speaking of next steps, okay, you have some really exciting things going on. So you have a retreat coming up, and then today is a big launch day for you, right?
Yes. So brand new today is Solinars, video Bible studies that are now available on our website, nurtureHerSoul.com. And so, again, the whole plan 3 years ago was to do in-person events, which we do tons of and absolutely love. But 5 or 6 years ago, during one of my in-home Bible studies that I lead, a girlfriend said, as we were watching another wonderful Christian women speaker, we were doing a Bible study and watching her video, she said, "How come you're not doing this?" And so God had planted that seed even years ago. But as we were doing events, plenty of women said, "Oh, I wish my so-and-so friend in whatever state could see you," or, "Oh, I wish I could hear you every week," or, "Your message is so relatable," or whatever they've said. And so Tom and I went back to the drawing board and started to dream again and thought, okay, let's do video Bible study series where people can do individually in their own home, or with a group of friends in their home, or in their church, or in their work during lunch hour, wherever you have a phone, a laptop, or a TV, you can participate in one of our Bible studies. Each Solinar video Bible study is a different topic. We currently now are launching two different topics. One is on forgiveness, and the other one is on God's plan for your life. So are launching, yes, two complete Bible studies. Each have 5 episodes, right along with a downloadable study guide for personal use, journaling, and or with questions for group study as well.
Wow, that sounds amazing. And what great topics to start with. Those are some deep, kind of heavy even topics. I mean, forgiveness,
yes.
Oof, that's a biggie.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. We dive into forgiving yourself, which is the hardest one for me, forgiving others, forgiving God. You'll hear a lot of personal anecdotes, funny stories, rough, sad stories, biblical truth, lots of verses and ways to study scripture as well, and hopefully hear scripture in new, different ways maybe than you've ever have before.
Wow, I love it. Where can people go to find this launch? Where do they go?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, nurturehersoul.com, and the tabs at the top of our website, there'll be events, and then there'll also be option for solinars. And those are and that will bring you to a menu to see our two different options right now for our solinars.
Great. Perfect. Okay. And then you have a retreat coming too?
Yes, we are doing a 24-hour retreat happening in the state of Iowa, right outside of Solon. And it's going to be, we call it Come As You Are. And you have to wear comfy clothing only. So anything with plenty of stretch. Because we are going to eat great food. We are going to snack till our heart's content. We are talking about what does the Bible say about who you are, just as you are, right now in whatever season you are in. And what can God do with your life? What is He trying to do in your life? How do you hear from God? Some of the things we've kind of talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have live beautiful musician, Rachel Henkel, is providing music for us, live music
perfect.
All weekend long. We'll have sunrise yoga on Sunday morning. I will be one of the Bible teachers. We have other speakers coming, but to be announced very soon. So it is really going to be 24 hours to connect, refresh, and nurture your soul. To get away to, it's kind of like a glorified Jesus pajama party.
Excellent. That sounds wonderful. So can people find that on your website
yes.
as well?
Okay, absolutely, yes.
Great.
Under our events tab, yes.
Okay. What about social media? Are you doing things on social media that people can get connected to?
Absolutely. On Facebook, you can find us at Nurture Her Soul.
Okay.
Instagram, same place. And every Monday at noon, I do a Facebook Live. And that's about 20 to 25 minutes of biblical inspiration, silliness, truth telling.
Excellent. All right. If any of you missed any of that information, I'll be sure I post it in the description of the podcast. So check there for follow up. And wow, this is great. I thank you so much for your time today, Mandy. And I thank everyone who took the time out to listen to this. I know that you've gotten some amazing takeaways from Mandy's story. So until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.